important guy nonetheless. He will be joining us right after the reading of today's text from the New Testament. Listen to the word. Listen for God's word from the prophet according to Matthew 3. Verses 1 through 17. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out with him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I repent.
I tell you all.
I wouldn't call you all through the vipers. So I usually wear my camel's hair coat more or less when I come to speak. After all, the Bible says I was essentially eccentric, and I hate to disappoint. It's good to be here today. I don't come back from the hereafter very often. I only accept invitations from very special groups like you here at Visiting Presbyterian Church. Actually, we don't get as many invitations to speak as you might think. It's a little hard to get in touch with us up there. We never did figure out this email thing. By the way, do not ask Jesus to come back to speak. He is scheduled to return someday, but the date is very hush-hush. Nobody knows. Well, I usually take a few questions.
Do you still like locusts and wild honey?
Well, I get that question quite a bit. People think that sounds a little odd. Back then they were cheap and easily available, and I was committed to living simply. I eventually did find I needed a little more fiber in my diet, you know. There's this guy with a salad bar a few clouds over. I usually stick with that these days. Let's see, who's next?
How about your head?
My head? Well, you may remember the story. I got right famous around the area. That King Herod asked me to be his spiritual advisor. The only problem was I kind of told him what I thought. In particular, I told him I thought it wouldn't be a good idea to be fooling around with his brother's wife. Well, that's not what Herod wanted to hear. And unfortunately, he was quite taken with it and ended up having me beheaded. And there's this fellow at that time named Eusebius. He was a historian. He wrote a history of the period. Now, that's not in your Bible, but the scholars have uncovered it. And I mentioned in that history, I mentioned how Herod had me executed because he saw me as a threat, and how he was fairly well known for a while. That's pretty consistent with what you have in the Bible. Now, I don't have any need for my old head or any of the rest of my old body in heaven, of course. And I'm authorized to take on any appearance I want when I make one of these special appearances here in the here and now. And so I took on that appearance, that Reed fellow, just to talk with me. So I'm being conspicuous. But the rest assured, I have to leave during the next 10, so that'll leave him walking around afterwards. Let's see, who's next? Question.
So tell us, how did you get to heaven and what is it like?
I get asked that a lot too. I don't like. I was one minute they were about to jump head off, and the next minute, well, there was Jesus, and there I was. That's about all I can say. And as far as what it's like, well, I'm not much help there either. I look through the dictionary and I just don't find any words in there that can really describe it. So I'm not much help there. It's pretty cool. Let's see, maybe one more question.
Why did you want to live in the wilderness?
Oh gosh, I don't really know. Something inside. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. Just said that I should do that. I guess I was kind of a loner. Of course, my parents, or I was an only child. My parents were quite old when I was born. My dad would tell me about how he couldn't talk during the time that my mom was pregnant. That he'd been visited by an angel, and the angel told him that I was going to be preparing the way for a Messiah. They died when I was young. It's not surprising since they were quite a bit older when I was born. Didn't have any brothers and sisters. I guess I just sort of need to go off by myself. The desert west of Jerusalem seems as good a place as any. Never had much need for fancy stuff, big house, fancy clothes. Always thought I was pretty lucky that way. Some folks are curious about my baptism methods. You mostly use the sort of what's called the sprinkle method these days. I did it a little differently. We use the Jordan River. It was a pretty good river for that sort of thing. It's not too deep, the current's not too strong. I can stand in it about thigh high and dunk people pretty easy. Some people say, well wasn't it cold? In fact, it says that to him, you're going to sing here in a little bit. The winters there were a little milder than they are here, a lot milder than today. But still, my business is way down in January and February. It's interesting, a lot of people give me credit for starting the whole baptism thing. But actually, it got started by some Jewish folks in the years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. No mention of baptism in the Old Testament, but sort of in those several hundred years between the two, that there were some Jewish folks that got started with this concept of baptism. So I really wasn't—I won't take credit for starting it. It's another example of how Christianity kind of builds on Judaism. Holds a lot to it. I think that the message. Pretty consistent with what you do with baptism today. If you ask for forgiveness, God's, your sins can be washed away. The water is symbolic of that. It's also symbolic of the fact that God is proclaiming the baptized person as God's own. That day that Jesus came to be baptized, I remember that pretty well. It didn't seem like I should be baptizing him. After all, he didn't have any really sins to be forgiven for. But he wanted to go ahead. I guess maybe it's sort of an example for the rest of us. But as I look back on it, I think maybe the most important thing about my ministry was that I emphasized the Holy Spirit. You don't find the words Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Now, some people sort of, they worry about this. Was that the same that when you read the words Holy Spirit, or when you read the word Spirit, or like Hank read, the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord in the Old Testament, is that the same thing as the Holy Spirit? Well, those can be difficult questions. I'd say it's pretty close. I wouldn't get too worried about that. Remember, we're talking about all these translation issues, Old Testament, Hebrew, New Testament, Greek, translating into English. I think the main point to make is it's very clear that the Holy Spirit was a real point of emphasis for me, for Jesus, for everybody that wrote the books of the New Testament, because it comes up an awful lot. It's probably just as important as the baptism stuff. All parts are all tied together. You see, God has these three aspects. God the Father, who made us all. God the Son, who took on our lot in life. And God the Holy Spirit. I sometimes say that the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. And in a sense, it may have the most effect on all of us in our everyday life. I kind of think it's that little something extra you might sense during a Christmas Eve service. Part of what you feel when a loved one is dying. Or maybe when you wake up at night and somehow feel close to God, or feel close to God when you're watching a beautiful sunset. Maybe it's that voice inside of you telling you how to reach out to help people. Somehow I knew Jesus was going to be bringing that, the Holy Spirit, into the world. Well, I gotta go. Just remember, be alert to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Thanks for the invitation.